the Holy Spirit instructions. He will tell you what to do and where to go, and that you won't always be doing the wrong things your evil nature wants you to. And I was just thinking about that, how, you know, we have the world, our flesh, and the devil that are constantly tugging at us to live contrary to what the Spirit tells us. And so I was just thinking about, you know, how to help me with that, and just thinking about the importance of a daily time in the Word, you know, to allow God to just renew our minds and our hearts and speak to us on certain areas. And I journal, and I like to go back, you know, maybe once a week or once a month, and just see, you know, different verses God has showed me, and often they're so connected. And then I think about memorizing and meditating on Scripture, and even grabbing verses that can really help me in the areas that I'm struggling in. And even putting on an index card and maybe placing them throughout the house to remind me. And then memorizing, I know a lot of people struggle with that. And someone shared just, you know, reading that verse maybe 5 or 10 times out loud a day, by the end of the week, you probably have it memorized. So just encourage you in that. And then the other thing is being accountable to somebody in the area you're struggling with, somebody that's that you can share in confidence and set some goals and make progress. I have some friends that I do that with. So just wanted to encourage you in that. Thank you.
Let's pray as Jack comes to give the message. Lord, I thank you for your word. These ancient books that many around us have disregarded, Lord, but to us they are a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, your word informs how we live and how we relate to you and how we relate to one another. And I thank you for Jack spending so much time on this passage about our progress and joy in the faith. And I pray that as we listen to your word today, as your Holy Spirit speaks to us through Jack, Lord, that we would be moved to make progress in our faith. And we know that in that, there's a place of joy that you have for us, that many people today are just not satisfied. But Lord, in you, there's a place of satisfaction that we can find and enjoy forever with you. And I pray that you would satisfy our hearts with your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Well, I have two announcements. Actually, one announcement, the other is a kind of a report, I guess. The first announcement has to do with our upcoming harvest party, and I am now holding in my hands our annual Golden Ladle Award. And as of now, Kendra Park and Isaac Kinzer sit upon the throne of king and queen of the chili champions. And so if you feel inspired to dethrone them from their reign, then you'll have a great opportunity. It would be 3 weeks from yesterday or 2 weeks from this coming Saturday to participate in our chili cook-off. Actually, we really do need many of you to make chili, because this year we are not having the pig roast part of it. So we need a lot more chili. So if you've wondered, should I participate? Yes, the answer is yes, you definitely should participate. The competition is going to be hot, spicy-wise, and although some people like it not so spicy. Anyway, consider taking part in the chili cook-off for this year's harvest party, which will be the 9th of October. I wanted to just give a kind of an update on how things are going with our pull-through prayer ministry. And as I was getting ready to come up, I just, the verse from the Psalms occurred to me where David said, "My cup overflows." Thou hast anointed me with fresh oil. My cup overflows. And I have a lot in my heart this morning. And so I hope it overflows to your benefit. But one of the reasons my heart overflows is just seeing God at work. I know that that's not the only ministry where God is working. He's working in many other ministries within the church, but we had a wonderful week. We got to interact with a number of people, and it's all very exciting to see the Lord working. One rather unique experience I had for the first time, Joan and I got to minister to a Muslim couple who had pulled in. You might think, well, why would they pull into a church? Well, he had a pretty desperate physical need. It was affecting his work situation. He had lost several jobs because of this physical issue. And I wanted to be very clear. I said, now you understand that we are going to be praying in the name of Jesus. He said, yeah, that's fine. We respect him as a prophet. I said, well, he said that if you ask the Father anything in my name, that will I do. And so we're going to go to the Father in Jesus' name. And we have these little cards we give out with contact information. So this little card had my phone number on it. You know, you give those out and you think, you know, no one ever calls. Lo and behold, I got a call a few days ago and he expressed an interest in meeting with me. So, wow, it's just so exciting to see God moving, God working, preparing people. We had a number of people who pulled in who said, I just felt led. I just felt, you know, I just turned in. I'm not even sure why, you know. So it's just so exciting to see God at work among us. Sure. Don't we just tend to think that, you hear the word random. Oh, that was random. Nothing's random. Nothing is random. God, the earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. His working fills this earth if we will tune in to it and see it and cooperate with him. So, wow, great story. Well, as I prepared my talk today, I reminded myself that my goal ought not to be, and so my goal is not to prepare the perfect presentation. Although there's nothing wrong with preparing, and I have prepared for today, but the goal is that God would be glorified as you hear his word and understand what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and understand how to move forward with that truth. So again, my desire is to, not to present this nice package of this nice, tidy message and tie it in a bow and go, okay, I've done what I'm supposed to do. No, because if I do that, but you don't hear from God and you don't, for whatever reason, you're unable to or you don't know how to move forward with that truth, then I've failed. So my goal this morning is to pass along what I believe God is saying to you. I know it's something that he's been saying to me. And so I'm just going to assume that it's not for me only, that he wants you all as well to grab onto this truth and to act on it, as Ashley mentioned in his prayer or before his prayer, this theme that I've been emphasizing about how the Apostle Paul, as he interacted with the Philippians, he said, I have a commitment to you guys. Yeah, in a lot of ways, I'd rather just die and just go be with God. I mean, who wouldn't rather that? But apparently God showed him that's not going to happen anytime real soon. I'm going to have you stick around on planet Earth, and I'm planning to stick around on planet Earth for a while. For, among other reasons, to be committed to you for what? For your progress and joy in the faith, Paul says. And so I hope that what I share helps you make progress in your faith. And it's not at all to suggest, well, I'm already there and I've already figured everything out and I've arrived spiritually and why don't you come up to where I am? That's not the idea at all, because I'm a work in progress also. And I'm on a path where I'm growing and trying to move forward. And so my desire is to help you along that same path. As you probably know, this theme has been carried along all year here in 2021, that we are a community of truth. We are a community, and of course this is summertime still, and or just after summertime. I guess we've already had Labor Day, so it's starting to feel a little bit like fall, but I think there are still some people out on vacation. But essentially, the people that are in the room or listening online, this is our community. And so what is the basis of our community? What do we base ourselves on? And as the little graphic suggests, we are a community of truth. We're based on the truth of the scriptures. And so you see the little pictures there. There's some houses that are sort of resting on the Bible, then there are some that are just sort of scattered on the sand. And we want to be a community that is based on the truth of the Bible. But we have an enemy, as you know, probably, and he is dead set against you. He hates you. He hates your guts. He's deadly. He doesn't play fair. And he cannot disconnect you from Christ. Because of Christ's faithfulness, that will never happen. But he can waylay you. He can neutralize you and paralyze you so that you are no longer growing. And he's sneaky. And he has certain schemes and ways of kind of working on people to get them out of God's will and get them off the path. And so we are instructed by Scripture to not be ignorant of his schemes, to be aware. They're not complex, and they've been around for a long time. And they just keep working, so he keeps using the same schemes because people keep falling for them. So we don't want to be ignorant of his schemes, Paul wrote to the Corinthians. I don't want Satan to take advantage of you. He's not able. If you're in Christ this morning, Satan is not able to take you to hell. So take a deep breath. Well, that's good to know, isn't it? But if I'm Satan, is that a little weird for me to think, what would I do if I was Satan? Do you ever think that way? If I were Satan, I'd think, okay, I can't get this person away from the relationship they have with God through Christ, but I can neutralize them. I can get them off the playing field, as it were. I apologized a few minutes ago to Todd because yesterday I called him. It wasn't only during the Buckeye game I had a question. I said, oh, sorry, Todd, that I called you during the game. He said, I'm at the game. Oh, sorry. He was very gracious, and doctors are that way. They just are right there on the spot to help you anytime. Anyway, think of the Buckeye game yesterday. The vast, vast, vast majority of people connected to the game. And I followed the game. I was down at the cabin with the guys where we had had our retreat. And Ashley and Phil took off, and Mike and I hung around. And I kind of worked on my message and did a little fishing. Someday I'll tell you about the one that got away. That's another story for another time. But I was kind of following the game. The vast majority of people connected to the game were spectators, listening on the radio, watching on TV, watching the game. Only a minuscule percentage of people were actually down on the field. But when it comes to kingdom things, you and I, we're on the field. I know you're a little bit in spectator mode right now because you're sitting and you're watching one person. You're watching a talking head up here. And that's okay, because there is a teaching responsibility that elders have, and that's a needed thing in the church. But please don't lapse into the thinking that your spot, your place, your role is essentially as a spectator in the kingdom. No, you are on the playing field, and the devil wants to create an injury for you, so you have to come off the field or just kind of make you forget that you're a player and make you start thinking that you're a spectator and somehow get you out of the game. He said in another place in the same book, 2 Corinthians, a few chapters later, he said, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, think of that word cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So Satan has this cunning that he uses. How does he use it? He leads your thoughts astray. Isn't this so much of where the battle is? Right up here. So he wants to lead your thoughts away so that you don't have a sincere and pure devotion to Christ or a love for Christ, a passion for Christ. And we think of this word cunning. I found this actually. I didn't steal it. It says, thou shalt not steal. I just borrowed this from one of Ashley's earlier teachings in the year where he developed this word cunning. Wow, you think of all these synonyms for cunning, that the devil uses guile, craftiness, wiliness. Remember Wile E. Coyote? He's always trying to think of ways to get the roadrunner, and we laugh at that. But the devil is always, the wheels are turning. How can I neutralize, put your own name in there? How can I get this person to not be effective for God, to not walk with God, to not enjoy and receive his many benefits? He's artful, he's devious, sly, trickery, duplicity. Duplicity, he's two-faced. On the one hand, he'll say, hey, just do this over here, it's really cool. All the while, you know, this other bad stuff happens when we succumb and we sin. He's duplicitous, he's deceitful. Chicanery, shrewdness, cleverness, canniness, sharpness. He has ingenuity, he's resourceful, he's inventive, he has imagination, he's very deft and dexterous. He's wily, he has ploys and schemes and stratagems. What must the coaches of Ohio State been doing last week? Man, they got embarrassed, didn't they, by Oregon. So they're like, this is not going to happen with Tulsa. It almost did happen with Tulsa. Thank you very much, Mike Spurlock, graduate of Tulsa. But they were scheming. How can we, what strategies? Boy, they were putting effort and energy into scheming and strategizing. The devil is putting every bit as much effort into scheming and strategizing to knock you off kilter. Tactics, maneuvers, subterfuges, tricks, and ruses. Again, he wants to lead astray your thoughts. From what? From sincere and pure devotion to Christ, passion for Christ, love for Christ. By the way, this is all an introduction. I haven't gotten to my main point yet. I'm going to get there. Revelation 2, Jesus said this to the church in Ephesus. By the way, the church in Ephesus was quite a successful church. They really had a lot on the ball. In the verses before this, Jesus commended them for all the ways that they really had their act together. I know your deeds, your toil, perseverance. You cannot tolerate evil men. You put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. You guys really have a lot of good things going on. We have good things going on in our church. He said, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Oh, Jack thinks we've left our first love. Now he's given a message about, well, our tendency is for our passions to cool, for our love to wane and grow weaker. If you've been married for very long, you know that over time you need to do things to just kind of rev up the engines. And God has called me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Okay, have I been loving her? I don't know. I need to kind of up my game here. I need to put more time and energy into loving her. Why? Because our human nature is to kind of, for our love to wane and to cool off. You've left your first love. So again, this our theme here for the year has to do with ways that the devil schemes to get us off track. He schemes so that your love for Christ wanes and cools. He tries to work in your thought life to pull you away from that. And we see this in the way that the devil related to Jesus. If you ever want to learn something about how the devil might hassle you, attack you, strategies he might use on you, just go to Scripture. Luke 4, Matthew 4, record Jesus' interactions when he was in the desert. He had fasted and prayed. He had fasted for 40 days, and the devil came to him to tempt him. And one of the temptations, it says, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Just adjust your priorities a little bit. I know you love your father. I'm kind of reading this into it. I understand. I know you love your father and you're on a certain track. But, you know, if you just kind of adjust things a little bit, and because look at all these shiny things over here. And if you go after these, if you put me in the place where the Father is, just kind of adjust your priority. I'll look at all the bennies that come from that, because I control this and I'll see to it that you get it. Wow, just a little bit of compromise. Jesus said to him, go, Satan, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So Christ himself deserves first place in your life, the first place position, not to be shared with anyone or anything. That's what it means for him to be Lord. And just as the devil attacked Jesus to try to knock him off kilter and get him to adjust his priorities, the devil will work in your life, in your circumstances, similarly, to try to get you away from devotion, sincere and pure devotion to Christ. In the book of Jude, which is very short, only 24 verses in the entire book, it's only one chapter long, there's a sentence that goes like this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. There are things that you and I can do to kind of maintain and strengthen our love relationship with Christ. And that's even associated to anticipating the return of Christ as you wait anxiously for Christ to return. And especially in light of that, strive by the power of the Spirit to strengthen your love relationship with Christ. Colossians 1 says, he's also head of the body, the church. He, Christ, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. His intention is to be first place in the entire universe. That's why he died and rose again. And he deserves first place in my life. He deserves first place in your life. In another place in Isaiah, he says, I will not share my glory with another. Jesus does not intend to share first place in your heart with something else or with someone else. 1 John 4, John says, we love because he first loved us. We only love him to start with because he initiated with us, didn't he? He first loved me. Why do I love Christ? Why do you love Christ? Because you're such a good person and just deep down in your heart, that's just the way you are. No, I know the way you are because you're like me. You tend to love other things. You tend to love yourself because I tend to love myself. And I tend to want to put myself first in my life. And now I'm a person whose life hopefully is characterized to some degree by love because he first loved me. That's why I love him. This is a little bit of an aside, but it's not. This really does dovetail with my talk today. A number of you prayed for me last weekend, and as you know, I wasn't here. I rather spent the weekend at a Boy Scout camp where I had spent much time in my youth. And it was a reunion. It was a reunion, I guess you'd call it, for guys who ever at one time had been counselors at a scout camp. So in the summers of 1971 and 72, I worked at a camp. And so it was so much fun to be back there and walk those trails and to see and talk with guys that I knew back in my youth. And of course, we stood around and laughed about all this stupid stuff you do when you're a teenager, you know. But I also knew, I anticipated that I would have an opportunity, I would have opportunities to share a little bit about my story, about how Christ had changed my life, because they knew me as an unregenerate person. And sure enough, Saturday morning, several of us were standing around kind of yucking it up. And one guy, I'll just call him John. There were, I think, four of us in a circle, and we were standing talking. These are guys that are all about my age, mid to late 60s. And one guy said to me, "Well, what about you, Jack? Are you working? Are you retired?" I said, "Oh, no, I'm still working." "Well, what do you do?" "Well, I pastor a church outside of Columbus." And this guy next to me, his eyes got real big, and he turned and looked to me. And I've told the story a number of times, and I can't. This guy is, I hope this doesn't sound racist. He's Italian. And his best buddy, who also was a camp staff member, is also two Italian guys. And they call each other Dago. They do. "Oh, Dago, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to get in trouble now. I don't know." But they that's how what they say. Anyway, this guy, John, I'll call him, he looks at me, and he gently takes me by the elbow, and he walks me several steps away from the group, and he puts his face in my face, and he says, "What are you talking about? The last time I saw you, you were smoking dope at Ohio State." Just like that. Got to do it with the Italian accent. I said, "John, I met Jesus Christ in the most life-transforming way. And I'm telling you, John, it was not a case of, oh, well, I'm going to just try to be a better person. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. No, I opened my heart and mind to Jesus Christ, and he came into my life, and he changed me absolutely, completely." What an opportunity. And he was a little bit like, "Well, I'm glad that works for you, or I'm glad you found something," or something. You know how people can be. But then later in the day, I had more opportunity to kind of elaborate on that. And wow, what a thrill, what a privilege that was for me to testify. And there were several other situations, maybe not quite that dramatic, where I had opportunity throughout the day to give testimony. Are you ready, by the way, to give a defense to someone who asks you about the hope that's in you with gentleness and patience? Are you ready to answer? So I kind of prepared to be ready to answer. Anyway, the genesis of my talk today relates to my weekend last weekend, because it was a fun time with guys. And I have to say, we enjoyed a certain brotherhood. I don't know if you've ever been part of an organization, maybe the military. I've never been in the military. I have two Marine sons. But I know the military can evoke this kind of sense of esprit de corps and camaraderie, especially if you've been in war. Now, I've not been in war. I've been in kind of spiritual wars with people, so I can kind of relate. But after that weekend, I was reflecting on the fact that, wow, we, even though it was just the Boy Scouts, we enjoyed a certain kind of brotherhood that was really special. And there was even something spiritual connected to that. And then it caused me to think about what about the community life we have as a church. And to be honest, folks, I think we can take a page from my experience with the Boy Scouts, that they have a certain level of loyalty to one another. And it's just so easy to take one another for granted. And this verse here, "Honor all people, We're to honor everybody, but we're to love the brotherhood. I am to so highly esteem the relationships that we have, that we in. What I love about this, folks, I love the clarity, the definition. Well, you know, I just love everybody. Maybe you're one of those people. I just love everybody. What I think Trump, when he first started running, he just would go, "I love everybody." Okay. Do you really? We like to think of ourselves, "Oh, I just love everybody." But what about the other people sitting in this room? What about the people sitting on the other side of the room or behind you or in front of you? I love the fact that I'm in a local church and there's very clear definition about the people that I'm to, with whom I enjoy brother, I am to enjoy brotherhood and I'm to love. I am to love the brotherhood. And do I love the brotherhood? And do the rest of the people in our church love the brotherhood that we have as believers? 1 Peter 1 says, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God." We have something, as much as I appreciate the Boy Scouts of America, they've gone a little sideways in recent years, but my experience in the past, it was a wonderful organization, and I'm glad for that. But I've been born again through an imperishable seed. I have an experience, and you have an experience with Christ that's truly supernatural. We have, or we ought to have, a relationship among us that exceeds what the world can have in their organizations, be it military or the Boy Scouts or pick whatever organization it is. This word fervently has stuck out to me here. Later in Peter says, "The end of all things is near, therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another." Part of our conversation at our elders' time was about current events and things that are going on around the world. And there's a lot of talk these days, and I think there's a lot of basis to it. Wondering, are we in the last days? Is this the end times? Well, I can say absolutely, unequivocally, no question about it, yes, we are. And here's how I know. The very first verse in the book of Hebrews says, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son." So, in one sense, Scripture uses the term the last days to refer to from the time Christ came onward. This is all the last days. You're like, okay, come on, Jack, but do you think we're that, like our generation, that like it's going to be within a few years or maybe a few months or maybe a few weeks that Christ comes? I don't know. Could be. Wow, there are some things happening. We don't have time. Ashley really is kind of, can I say, on the cutting edge of, or just in terms of his awareness, and he was kind of educating me about things that are going on worldwide that really seem to be pointing to the fact that we might be in the very last days before the return of Christ. But be careful. No one knows the day or the hour. I'm not saying that I do. So let's be very careful. But listen to what Peter says. The end of all things is near. There's a verse in Romans that says that your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. Okay? True, Christ hasn't come back for a lot of years, but at least his return, whenever it is, it's closer now than it used to be, right? It's closer now than when I first believed. I first believed on the 30th of November, 1973. That's when I first believed in Christ. And his return is a lot closer than it was back then. So the end of all things is near. Therefore, what? Therefore, what? Therefore, bury your head in the internet and read up on current events and make sure you know what the government's doing and how these different governments are scheming together to manipulate populations and manipulate the currency and blah, blah, blah. I'm not against that. I don't think Scripture is speaking against that. It's not wrong for us to be knowledgeable and aware of what's going on. That's fine. But that's not what it says we're to be doing necessarily. But Peter does give us instruction in light of the fact that the end of all things is near. There is something to which we ought to be giving ourselves. He says, be of sound judgment. Oh, good. Be of sound judgment. That means I need to, again, you know, read up all on the internet and all the theories about how the government's, you know, doing all the things that they're doing. I don't know. He says, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Prayer ought to be an increasing part of the lives of those in the generation in which Christ is going to return. And then he says something very I find very powerful. Above all. Really? Above all? Above all. Keep fervent. Keep fervent in your love for one another. And again, as I, of course, I was doing pull-through prayer last week, and I enjoy it. I know it's a little twisted, but I'm out there on the highway. I'm waving to people. I'm, you know, those truckers, and I'm just kind of waving at them and just having a good time. But I'm also spending time thinking about stuff. And I just was reflecting about my experience at Scout Camp and whether or not maybe we can learn something from the brotherhood that was so rich there among people who were largely unregenerate. We are to be fervent in our love for one another. We're not just to be on the same level as the Boy Scouts. We're to be fervent. I brought some items today to help, with a view to helping you remember what my point is today. So this is not so much about preparing the best PowerPoint presentation, because let's be honest, how many PowerPoint presentations do you remember from past teachings? You don't have to answer that, probably like none, or I don't know. But I brought some things to help you remember what my point is, and this first item, this is a Burns-O-Matic, this is propane gas with a little torch end. And the reason that I've gotten interested in this, as you know, I like to fish or drown worms sometimes. And so I had this little fishing boat. My brother and I went together and bought this cheap little aluminum 12-foot rowboat. And I was with my grandson this spring out on the lake fishing, and there was an increasing amount of water in the boat. He was having a grand old time catching fish, and I was in the back with a little plastic cup bailing water. And I thought, we better get to shore here pretty fast. And sure enough, got the boat home and realized we have a crack in the boat. So I'm going to repair this crack. So my brother and I worked on it, and we put this epoxy stuff in there. Okay, that does it. And so that held for about one trip on the lake, and then later after we got home, the epoxy stuff fell off. So what do? You go online, right, and you search repairing aluminum boats. And so I used to work with welders. I'm not a welder. I don't really know how to weld. And this isn't exactly welding, but this is called brazing. And I'm not going to get into all the details of it. And I'm gonna pass this. Actually, I was thinking of lighting this just for the dramatic effect of, you know, because we're to keep ourselves fervent. And actually, the way this is germane to my topic. So, the videos are instructing people how to repair a crack in your aluminum boat, and what you need to do is you need to heat up the aluminum. So you have this torch, and you heat the area around the crack, and you have to get it up to a certain temperature. And then you have these brazing rods that you hold like with a pliers, and they are designed to melt at a temperature lower than your aluminum. So you don't want to heat your aluminum hot enough. You don't want to blow a hole in the boat, okay? This is not an acetylene torch. That's something different. This is just propane. But anyway, you heat the aluminum that it's hot enough, and then you touch this brazing rod to the aluminum. You don't heat the aluminum with the torch. You heat the boat and the metal, and then you touch the rod to the metal, and then the rod melts, and it seals this crack. It's pretty cool, and I'm looking forward to doing it. I haven't done it yet. So I thought, I'm going to light this torch, and I thought, the fire marshal probably wouldn't be really happy if I did that. Well, maybe I'll pass this around, and people can hold it and look at it and go, yeah, I need to heat up my passion for Christ. Oh, someone's going to open this thing, and there'll be propane gas smell all around, but I will, at least. I'll take the top off of it, and this little torch thing, I don't know, maybe you've seen these in the store. I got this at Home Depot, and just, smell propane. But just kind of look at it and just, I don't know, I just thought it would be a good idea for you to hold something in your hand and realize that, yeah, the propane smell will go away. God wants me to keep fervent. Let's think about that phrase, keep fervent. What does that imply? Keep fervent. Hello? That you are fervent. Okay, if you're going to keep fervent, that must mean that you've reached a certain level of fervency. And if you're not there, get it up there. So if you're going to fix your boat, you got to spend some time even before you apply that rod. You got to get this torch out, and you got to turn it on, and you got to put the flame to the aluminum and start heating it up. Keep fervent in your love for one another. Here's the second thing that I'm going to pass around, and this is a simple thermometer that you'd use to take your temperature. It's a digital one, and you all know what a thermometer is, but again, I just thought it would be a good idea for you to hold something in your hands and remember, yeah, I have a certain spiritual temperature. And I want to ask you this morning, what is your spiritual temperature? Don't answer, except in your own heart and mind. What is your level of fervency? Because your fervency of love for others is going to come from your love for Christ. I don't think you're going to love the other people in this room more than you love Christ. So the first thing we want to emphasize is your love relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to do something to increase the temperature, the fervency of your love for Christ, so that you can have a level of fervency of love for the other people in this room. Let's not ignore the last phrase. Why is this important? Above all, keep fervent. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be around any church for very long, and a lot of you have been around here a long time. Be around a church very long, someone's going to sin against you. Guarantee it. Just a matter of time. If I had a nickel for every person I talked to, I used to go to church. I used to go to New Song. I run into people. I used to go to New Song. I used to go to church. I'm not, as a matter of fact, one of my Boy Scout buddies, not the first guy I was telling you about, but a second guy, I happened to know that he was part of a church up in Canton where I'm from, and I said, Al, the last time I saw you was in the parking lot of such and such church back about 40 years ago. Oh yeah, he said, I went there for about 12 years. I said, are you still walking with the Lord? Yeah, but I'm just not a part of a church. I didn't ask him why, but I'm sure you know people who are not part of a church because they got hurt by somebody. And I will bet you a dollar to a donut, every person in this room has been hurt by a church person, maybe by someone else in this room. And maybe it was by, maybe you were hurt by me. I don't know, but we're human beings and we're going to sin against one another. And that, it's going to happen. And if we think, well, I'll be involved in community, but if someone hurts me, I'm out of there. Really? You'll never stick in any church. We have to have a level of fervency of love for one another that will overcome the sin that happens between. Now, I'm not trying to let someone off the hook. If someone wronged you, yeah, I want them to make it right. I want them to own up to it. I want them to recognize what they did and admit it and be sorry and say they're sorry. But sometimes that doesn't happen. The person doesn't think they did anything wrong. They're really not that sorry. They're oblivious. They're whatever. And you have a hard time when you're around that other person. And you kind of remain aloof. And your love kind of cools off. And you're not that fervent in your love for the other people in this room. And God's will is for you to take out the spiritual blowtorch and think, I got to heat this thing up. I need to. Now, isn't it interesting? Because you're maybe you're sitting there going, well, okay, how do I do that, Jack? We can talk about the how, I suppose. Peter didn't feel led to get into a big, long explanation about the how. He just said, keep fervent. He just took it for granted that they were going to have some idea of what that might entail. What things would come to your mind if someone in authority says to you, yeah, you need to be more fervent here. Okay, I'm a Buckeye fan. I am a Buckeye fan. I'm not as much as some people, but I am a little bit, I guess. But if I wanted to raise my fervency as a Buckeye fan, what would I do? Well, I'm going to get an air horn. I'm going to paint my face. I'm going to, you know, I don't know, learn some Buckeye cheers. I'm going to do some things to up my game because I want to be passionate for the Buckeyes. I really don't want to be that passionate for the Buckeyes. But I want to be more passionate for Christ than anything else. And Peter simply says, keep fervent in your love for one another. I want to posit this statement, fervency of love for other believers in my church stems from fervency of love for Christ. What can you do to raise the temperature? Take your temperature. How fervent is your love for Christ? What can you do to raise the temperature of that? Because that is going to bleed over and result in you. Because here's the thing. Christ loves his bride. He loves his church. I hear a lot of people say, I love God, I'm not in a church. Well, you really don't love God. I don't usually say that to the person, but in my mind I'm going, you're deceiving yourself. You love a caricature of God. You don't, if you loved Christ, because Christ loves his church. Don't fool yourself. If you're not fervent in love for Christ's people, you're not really fervently in love with him because he loves his people. Colossians 3, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So love is supreme. It's something that's, well, it's an understatement to say it's important. That just seems like that's not powerful enough a statement to say it's important. Because Peter said, above all, keep fervent. We need to keep fervent. Why? Because the end of all things is near, and sin happens. Sin happens in communities of people, and that's why it's so necessary. I'm so glad. I don't know. I'm just a simple guy. I'm a simple person, and I feel like God has made it very clear and very simple. I can't love. On one level, I could love everybody. In an idealistic way. In practical terms, I really can't. God has given me real definition about the people who I am to fervently love. Look around this room, those are the people. It's pretty simple. I hope you will embrace the simplicity of this directive that God has given you. I hope this helps you to take a step forward. Again, why am I sharing this? Because I want to help you move forward to make progress in your walk. And part of making progress is getting fervent and staying fervent in your love for the other people in our body. So may the Lord use this. I'm going to close my talk with what the benediction is going to be. And the benediction is from 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 11 through 13. Now may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. How does the increasing and abounding love, how does that happen? Well, this passage says that God causes it. That doesn't mean that you don't have any role in it, but if God doesn't do it, it ain't going to happen. God, I need you. Quickly, one stanza of a hymn. More love to thee, O Christ. Whether or not you ever learn the hymn, please learn the sentiment. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee. Is that ever your prayer request? Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to love you fervently. In my humanness, I veer off. I cool off. Help me to raise the temperature of my passion for you. So he says, now may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. What does it mean to be holy? People have this idea that holiness is just this kind of sanctimonious, self-righteous, I don't allow myself to get dirty by, defiled people, and I'm kind of a cut above everybody else. This says that holiness has to do in growing in your love for other people. That's what holiness is. Do you want to be established in holiness before God when Christ comes back, whenever that is, might be pretty soon? Then increase and abound in love for others, and especially for your fellow believers. And may God help me to do that as well. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to admit right off the bat that in our humanness, we have a tendency to grow cool in our love for you, and certainly in our love for others. Lord, I can think of 101 other reasons to not love the people in this room, and I'm sure they can think of reasons to not love me. Thank you that love covers a multitude of sins, and I pray that in this specifically, Lord, in this week, my passion, my fervency, my love for you would grow, my love for the people in this room would grow. And I pray the same for them, that their fervency, their passion, their love for you would increase, become fervent, and stay fervent, and that their love for the other people in this room would become fervent and stay fervent for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Announcement time, I think.
Yes, so the baskets will be coming around. Put in your offering or any blue cards if you got them. So run through just really quick these announcements. Please consider taking part in weekly prayer. There's an online meeting Wednesdays. That's been meeting on Wednesdays. It's been moved to Fridays at 8 a.m. You can just go through on the Zoom link through that. Pull-through prayer is coming up here pretty quick. Or is here, isn't it? It is here. I can't remember. So don't forget to sign up if you want to participate. It's not too late to sign up to participate. Music team is always looking for new members. We could always use more people up here. We really enjoy playing instruments up here. So if you've got musical bone in your body, come join us. It's a lot of fun. Sorry, I'm brain fart. Terrible. The next two announcements, Ashton is going to elaborate a little bit more about the mental health first aid. He's got a few comments about that that people have had concerns about. It's coming up October 2nd. Also, don't forget about the harvest party the week after that. There's going to be more information about that. And also, ladies, Adele's bridal shower is in 2 weeks. So don't forget about that either, actually.
Yeah, so very soon here, October 2nd, we'll be here very quickly in 2 weeks. That Saturday is the mental health first aid seminar. And I was thinking about it this morning. I'll just give a quick disclaimer. We have not vetted the content, so to speak. I don't want that to scare people off. I asked, and there's no way that we could get a copy of this content to vet it. However, it's delivered by believers. So I have confidence in that. But the reason why we want to do this is so that when people are pulling in for prayer, when we're interacting with friends and family and coworkers, and sometimes we meet folks and we're thinking, there's something I'm not getting with the way this person operates their life, the way there's something about them, I can't put my finger on it. This training will help us understand mental health issues. I'm looking at it for myself as well. But you know, I have family members who are addicted to drugs, and I don't really know how to interact with them, how to help them. I'm really hoping that this training is going to give me, again, it's not going to turn me into a counselor in a day, but it's going to give me some tools and some resources just to be able to begin to have a conversation with them. So that's why I'm really hoping that everyone is able to take this training in a couple weeks. Now, somebody asked this morning, you will get a certification actually out of this, just like CPR. And we want to be clear that there's no expectation for you to then take that and make some commitment to a hotline or anything like that. You know, this is for us to use here within the church and personally with our own relationships that we have. So there's no pressure to commit to anything past the course. I just want to be clear about that. So on the announcement page, newsong.family/live, you'll see a link there. It'll take you to the registration page. I'm waiting to get the updated list from the people that are running the seminar this week. We only have 30 seats, so please get your registration in very early this week so that we can plan for how many will be here. So that's coming up in a couple weeks, and I hope you'll be able to join us. Well, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that I was just thinking this week. It's been almost 10 years that I've come to this church. And I thank you for the progress that I have made in my faith by being around these believers that you have put me with. And I know that others can say the same. Because part of the way you work in our lives, you work through the Word, you work through the Holy Spirit, and you work through the Holy Spirit that's in the other people sitting beside me in this room. I thank you for the way they've spoken into my life to help me grow, the opportunities you've given me to speak into others' lives to help them grow. I thank you for this beautiful model of community that you've given us in Scripture, truly loving one another. And I know that's not everybody's experience. Some people come and they're not as connected. And so, Lord, I just pray that each one here, Lord, that you would work in our hearts to reach out to the others that are here this morning, Lord. When we see somebody that's not been here a while, call them, Lord, to reach out, to spend time doing things outside of Sunday morning together, going to lunch or hanging out or whatever it is, sharing the Word together. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would remind us of what Jack shared today, not just today and tomorrow and next week, but for weeks to come, that you would really make us a community of truth, where we really are loving one another and supporting one another and encouraging one another. I thank you for where that is today. And like Jack said, I pray that you would keep it going, Lord, that you would keep us fervent in love for you and love for one another.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Please stand for the benediction. Now may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. You're dismissed.